about redemptive analogies. A favorite topic of mine is redemptive analogies. Redemptive analogies have been used to make the gospel clear to indigenous people groups. What is a redemptive analogy? It's a practice or belief native to any given culture that distinctly parallels or illustrates the gospel. I first heard about redemptive analogies when I read Peace Child by Don Richardson. Don and his wife Carol seemed to be making no progress trying to share the gospel with a Stone Age tribe in New Guinea. The discouraged young Canadians felt like giving up and moving to a different place. Then one day, they watched a Sawi tribal chief make peace with an enemy tribe. To seal the peace pact, the chief gave his infant son to the other tribe. As the Richardsons listened to explanations of that solemn ceremony in its underlying meanings, parallels with the gospel story jumped out at them. The Sawi needed to see that Jesus was God's peace child, who has made lasting peace possible between humanity and its creator. If the Sawi could wrap their minds around that idea, a spiritual leap forward might come. The Richardsons did use that peacemaking ceremony to explain the coming of Jesus into the world. The illustration from the Sawi's own culture opened their eyes and their hearts. Members of the tribe began accepting Jesus as their Savior and Lord. In Psalm 22, King David, feeling anguished by enemy attacks, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, on the cross, says the very same thing. In verse 6, David says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." This psalm fits so aptly the circumstances of Jesus at his crucifixion. My daughter's husband, Michael, recently shared the following story with me. I looked it up on the internet. Written up by Nicole Marie Hilton, the story is from Pastor Bohan Jancic. The Hebrew word for worm here is tolaaf. This is the crimson worm that was very common to the region of Old Israel and was used in the dyeing of garments scarlet for the priesthood and the wealthy. It is somewhat round in shape and often mistaken for a berry. The life cycle of the tolaaf is just amazing. When the crimson worm is prepared to reproduce offspring, which she does only once in her life, she attaches herself rigidly to a tree or a wooden fence post in such a way that she can never be removed without tearing her body completely apart. And when her young ones arrive, they feed upon the living body of the mother, a decidedly painful sacrifice. Then, when the young are able to survive apart from the mother, she dies. As she dies, she exudes a crimson gel, which not only stains the tree, but her young ones as well. Thus, they are colored by the mother's scarlet dye and remain so for the remainder of their lives. For the next 3 days, the worm can be scraped from the tree, and the crimson gel can be used to make a dye, the same dye used in the tabernacle, the priest's belts, and by the upper class. On the fourth day, the uncollected gel is no longer crimson, but is turned into a white wax and is used to make shellac, a preservative of wood. Also, the crushed tolaaf has natural antibacterial properties and was used to make medicine to make the heart beat smoothly. When Jesus said, "I am a worm," he was not saying, "I am a nobody." He was saying, "I am a tolaaf. I will allow myself to be attached to a piece of wood. I will give my life for my children. I will bleed crimson and die so that they may live. My blood will cover them and take them from spiritual poverty to spiritual aristocracy. I will be crushed, but my blood will heal their hearts. My sacrifice will remove the dark stain of sin and forever preserve them, making them white as snow. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the redemptive analogies that point out what Jesus did for us on the cross, becoming a man and dying for us that we might live. Thank you for giving us your Son to bring us everlasting peace, victory over sin and death. We lift our hearts in thanks and we praise you. Amen.